Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Last week in our study of 1 Samuel chapter 1, we were taught that although we may not be able to see it, God has a purpose in all that happens in our lives. Let's continue with that thought today.
And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Think of 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now, do you see there about doing the will of God and abiding forever? But the opposite is the worldly lusts pass away. They don't abide forever. Sin has pleasure, but only for a season. It leaves regret, and it leaves brokenness. And so what happens? The desires of our flesh, the desires our eyes see, and then the pride of life that exalts ourselves above God, above others, all these things, my friend, they lead to failure. Now, it's interesting, too, because for the Christian, when he reads 1 John, he sees in verse 28, after in verses 15 through 17, speaking about the love not the world, he says, as Christians, they're either going to be ashamed or have confidence at his appearing. You know, one of two ways you're going to appear before the Lord at the rapture if you're saved, confident or ashamed. How will you appear, my friend? Now, let's look at the story here. First of all, let's read through verses 4 through 8. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters portions. Understand, although Hannah is the favored wife, Peninnah is still his wife. She's still his responsibility. And all her sons and her daughters that he's had with her. Therefore, he makes full provision, not in part. He provided totally everything they needed for this yearly sacrifice. He goes on and says in verse 5, but unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb. Understand, don't miss that God knows what he's doing. It was the Lord that shut her womb up. Now, some say, was it because of her sin of being married to Elkanah and being a second wife, or the two of them being there? I don't know if it is or not, to be honest with you. The Bible doesn't tell us. All it tells us, the Lord shut her womb up. Now, that's possible. That's why, because we saw that in the case with Jacob and his two wives. But on the other hand, perhaps we see something just like we did with Abraham when he's told to offer Isaac. That doesn't make sense. But Abraham goes on to do it. And God has to stop him from doing it. But he was going to do it because it was God's will. But God knew what he was doing. And oh, what a great picture of what Jesus Christ would do for us through that. There was Noah, who was told to build an ark. He's out there in the middle of a desert building an ark, and you wonder, oh, how in the world, why in the world do you work 120 years building this boat? Well, Noah stuck with it. God sends a flood. You may not see it right at the moment, but for everything that happens in life, God has a purpose. And we need to understand that. It goes on, verse 6, and her adversary also provoked her sore. In other words, she just strongly made fun of her, strongly pushed this in front of her. I've got children, you do not. Elkanah and I, we're just like this, man. We're tight. We are having children together, and you're not able to produce any children for him. What kind of a wife are you? So she's giving her a hard time. So it says she also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did year by year, and when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then sent Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? Understand, he gave Peninnah worthy portions. And worthy portions, I mean, that she gave her what she needed. I mean, she gave her all and her kids, but to Hannah, it was a worthy portion, was more than enough, because he loved Hannah. She was favored. And so, because he has this tenderness about him, he says, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? Now, here is a different approach. Peninnah comes at her in a very dastardly way and throws this thing to her. Elkanah comes to her in a compassionate way. But that's still not going to change the situation. Why weepest thou? Why eatest thou not? Why is thy heart not grieved? Then he answers those three questions with the last question. Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? He knows that it's because she has no children with him. I'm sure that that's been rehearsed many times before. But here is jealousy. I believe Peninnah is jealous because, well, Hannah's the favored wife. Perhaps Hannah is jealous because she has no children, and Peninnah does. So, the fire's being stoked here. Oh, the devil loves this thing. Yet, isn't it better to have the husband's love? So, here we see that both of these ladies have a sense of jealousy with him. But with Hannah, she feels less than a woman. She does not flaunt her favored wife status, but she feels less than a woman, because to a woman, the best thing that she could do in that day was to produce a child for the husband she loved. And so we go on and we read verses 9 through 11. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli, the priest, sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and forget not thine handmaid, and will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Well, here we see Hannah's vow. Now, to this point, she's wept in self-pity. But now a burden in her heart, to where her heart is even bitter, it takes her to prayer. You've got a bitter heart, take it to the Lord. Hannah gives us a good example here. And so, it is a heart issue. No longer is it a pride issue. Elkanah, in compassion, tried to comfort her. But human words, even when it's your mate, will fail when there are things that only God's hand and God's voice can calm and give peace. So her vow is that if God, if you'll give me a son, I will give him to the Lord all his days. But not only that, she intensified the vow by saying, that he would be a Nazarite. No razor would come upon his head. Now, that'd be humbling for a man in that day to have hair like that. But the servant of the Lord needs to be a humble person. She says, I'll give him to you, Lord, all of his days. Now, when she's going to give him to be a Nazarite, we need to understand what that means. In Numbers chapter 6, verse 1 through 5, we read a little bit about the Nazarite vow. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when either man or woman shall separate themselves to vow a vow of a Nazarite, to separate themselves unto the Lord, he shall separate himself from wine and strong drink, and shall drink no vinegar of wine or vinegar of strong drink. Neither shall he drink any liquor of grapes, nor eat moist grapes or dried. All the days of his separation shall he eat nothing that is made of the vine tree, from the kernels even to the husk. All the days of the vow of his separation there shall no razor come upon his head, until the days be fulfilled in which he separateth himself unto the Lord. He shall be holy, and shall let the locks of the hair of his head grow. Now all of this was to show forth the holiness of God. Wow. And so when these men, not only did they not drink wine, they didn't drink grape juice. They didn't even eat grapes. They didn't even eat the seeds, okay? So they didn't do that, and God was having them do this to show them that there is a difference between the holy and the unholy. And that was to demonstrate that. And that was something that was given to the priest. By the way, have you ever thought that saved people are priests of God? Now, understand also that Hannah, in her vow here, she's in the temple. Now, Solomon's temple will be much later, well over 100 years away from being built. So this is not the temple that we often associate with the Old Testament. And the word had an idea of a large, impressive royal room or a public building. And so this is what this building was. It had housed the ark there, and it was there to be a place where the people of God would come to worship the Lord. And so this was one place that was set aside to pray to Yahweh. You know, do you remember Jesus? Two times in his public ministry, goes into the temple, overturns the tables of the money changers, and he's angry. He's has a whip, and he's going to town. Why? Because he said, don't make my house a den of thieves, my house of all houses. He said, it's to be a house of prayer.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click to the lamp and light. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.